Good morning, and welcome into another edition of The Beacon. Summer's truly here.
Boy, you are not kidding.
92 degrees, supposedly.
And humid.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the worst.
Did I ever tell you they used to make a deodorant? It was called the five-day pad.
No.
You kind of rub
it. That just sounds like a problem right there.
Yeah. But anyway, it was good. And when we used to have weather like this when I first got started in radio back here in Chicago,
uh-huh.
I used to say, when it was temperatures like 92 degrees with a high humidity, I says, you better pray that guy sitting next to you on the bus isn't on the sixth day of a five-day pad.
Oh, my God. What did it do?
It supposedly did what the other deodorants did.
For 5 days?
For 5 days.
So it was like expecting you to not shower for 5 days?
You know, years ago, believe it or not, a lot of people didn't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
They would have the Saturday night bath.
Oh, for heaven's sake, five-day pad.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom such a thing.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I wear my natural deodorant.
Yeah, I know.
I don't put those chemicals in my armpits.
Still, but you shower every day and all the rest of that stuff.
And I wear nice-scented lotions.
Right. Well, yeah,
like
you always smell good, you know.
Thank
so
you.
That's beside the point.
I do. But, yeah. I do my best.
That's good. So.
5 days, that's funny.
So here we are. I'm back in town.
You are.
Good.
Oh, my heavens. That was quite a stint in Florida. How long were you there?
It was 2 years that felt like 20.
I can't believe it was two years.
2 years that felt like 20.
Yeah, you were not feeling it.
I was not. You know what? Jonathan Winters said it. It's God's waiting room.
Yeah.
If you go down there and you don't have anything to do, you get old real fast.
And I think that was your biggest challenge, too, is you just couldn't. There was just not a
nothing
niche
to
down
do.
There. Well,
no.
They don't have the accessibility that Chicago provides for you.
No.
And, you know, so you're not only nothing to do, but then you're kind of landlocked because.
I got to tell you, there's one lady who was absolutely terrific and a gentleman, too.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Ellie Dupree. And she is the chief. She's the CEO and president of the Broward County Lighthouse of Broward County.
Okay.
Fantastic lady. Reminds me of Janet.
Is she the one you met on the airplane?
No.
Okay.
She's fantastic. Just absolutely terrific. Got her head together.
Cool.
Knows what she's doing. You know, that sort of thing. She was terrific. She helped out quite a bit. And then she introduced me to this gentleman named Brian. And I always get a name, Brian Corey, I believe his last name is. And he's with an organization called Insight to Blindness in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And those people were great. Had I met them earlier on, I don't know what I would have done.
Maybe different experience.
Yeah, it could have been a different experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're.
So what did they do for you that made you feel like they were great?
Acted like people up here do.
Well, that's something. Most definitely.
Yeah. Oh, acted like it was just unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
They're known for making promises down there, but never fulfilling them.
It feels like you've said that a lot. You know, you've told me things that were going to happen,
right.
And then they didn't happen.
They never happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait over the next few weeks. I got to tell you about the horror story of moving too.
Oh my! Well, and you guys drove.
Well, we drove. Yeah, but I'm talking about the moving.
Right. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Everybody's got a moving story, man. Yeah, no good.
They are the most hideous people in the world. I'm going to make a generalization.
Or
movers.
Don't do that. I've met some very good movers. Don't stereotype. You don't want to be stereotyped. Don't stereotype. But let's address these ignorant movers specifically.
Yeah, yes, you know, remember how they down there they call them gypsies of the road.
They call movers that?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Well, they're probably moving cross-country a lot.
Well, not, no. The other term, a gypsy, you know, years ago.
Oh,
Hollywood,
how they
take advantage
thievery,
of
thievery,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, so.
Well,
but we'll get into that in the weeks
yes.
to come. You know, we'll talk about it. I got a lot to talk about.
I guess.
That,
well, I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway, so we got a big show today.
We do.
I got to tell you what, though, because I forget the gentleman's name. who's going to be our first guest on here.
Oh, Bill Schmidt.
Bill Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Yes.
I recorded this interview back in December.
Really?
And we promised to get it on the air soon.
Oh, sorry,
well,
Bill.
Well, Bill, it's 6 months later, but here we go, buddy, okay? Forgive me, please,
buddy.
Forgive me for taking so long to do it. You know, so
well,
that,
it's better late than never.
Exactly, and it's a great organization. It really is.
Awesome. So. Well, that'll be a great interview.
What else are we doing?
Jesse White.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't forget him for sure.
We're talking, well, it's our semi-annual visit with him, but he's got some interesting news. Issuing licenses, driver's licenses, state
some
IDs.
New protocols, right?
Yeah, some new protocols coming in for that.
It's always good to know that.
Yeah, and then we're going to have us let us turn up the beat.
Yeah.
So we haven't had, I haven't heard one of those in a while.
It's
and
been
then
a little bit.
Tom's Corner.
It's going to be the summer treat version of Let Us Turn Up the
really?
Beat.
Really?
Yeah.
Honest to God.
You
very,
betcha.
Very kind of breezy and light.
Very light, very tangy.
You know, we got to get a book together.
I know. We always say that, don't we?
And yeah, make the donation. You know.
Well, now that you're home, now that you're back, now that you're home,
we can do stuff like
that.
Yeah,
we can have the opportunity to do it. That's a great idea.
So I guess we should get it going.
Let's do this.
You know, we'll get the interview started with Bill Schmidt from the Foundation for Fighting Blindness. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around. Bill's coming up next.
Bright Focus Foundation offers free monthly telephone discussions on vision diseases. Patients and loved ones have many questions, and Bright Focus is here to help. Hear from medical experts on a variety of topics and have the opportunity to ask questions. For more information, please call 1-800-437-2423. That's 1-800-437-2423. Or visit our website at www.brightfocus.org.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of work and earnings, but of pension and leisure. A journey into a wondrous land of imagination. You unlock this door with Social Security's Retirement Estimator and online benefit application. Next stop, the Retirement Zone. Picture a man sitting at his home computer. He isn't sure whether he should apply now or work a little longer and begin receiving benefits at age 70. He's about to find out with a visit to the Retirement Estimator. The estimator uses his past earnings and allows him to key in variable future earnings and retirement dates to complete the picture of a retirement he'd like to live. Enter the Retirement Zone yourself. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov. That's www.socialsecurity.gov. We'll see you in the Retirement Zone.
I have to be totally honest with you, you wonderful listeners of ours. I have been meaning to get a hold of this organization that we're going to be talking with. It's got as long as the show's been on the air, and it's for some reason or another, I've always missed the opportunity to be able to do it. But I was listening to an out-of-town radio station, and I happened to hear public service announcements for this organization, and I said, this is it. I'm going to do it this year. We're going to make sure we get them on the air, and doggone it, we're doing it. So Bill Schmidt is the Chief Executive Officer of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, right?
Yes, indeed, Bill. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Transplanted Chicago, and just like I was, too. So that's the whole thing. Tell me about the organization. What's the purpose of it? How long have you guys been around?
Sure. So the Foundation Fighting Blindness was started in 1971 by Gordon and Lulie Gund and Ben Berman, who was living in Baltimore at the time. Ben had two daughters affected by retinitis pigmentosa, and Gordon Gund himself is affected by retinitis pigmentosa.
Mm-hmm.
The urgent mission of the Foundation Fighting Blindness is to drive the research that will provide preventions, treatments, and cures for people affected by retinitis pigmentosa, macular degeneration, Usher syndrome, and the entire spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases. So we're focused like a laser beam on research. We want to find treatments and cures for these genetically inherited diseases as quickly as possible so we can put ourselves out of business.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you'll put yourself out of business. Well, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to make it work. You've seen, I'm sure you have, over the last few years, there's been so much going on in research as far as AMD. I mean, matter of fact, I'm going to be talking in a couple of weeks or so with a gentleman who is doing research on the Parkinson's medication that could actually affect vision one way or another, and I'll find out more about it when I talk to him. But we're finding that there are medications that are used for other conditions in the body that are also equally qualified in helping to either slow down or even stop some of the conditions that affect the eye, namely AMD and RP and that sort of thing.
Oh, no question about it, Bill, and you're talking specifically about an area that's very exciting called neuroprotection.
Mm-hmm.
These are drugs that would, as you indicate, slow down the progression of these diseases. All of these diseases are characterized by the progressive death of cells in the retina,
mm-hmm.
and we are working very hard with other neurological conditions. You mentioned Parkinson's. We're in constant contact with Parkinson's people, the ALS people, because the retina is all neurons, and those are neurological diseases, so we do have a lot in common, and we're constantly looking for drugs that can be repurposed to help people with retinal diseases.
And the amazing thing about it is that you're seeing so much development of these drugs that are out there that actually can do a dual purpose and serve people in both ways. Because a lot of times, and you know this as well as I do, but a lot of times people who have a vision problem also have some other type of ailment.
Absolutely, and not only that, what's unique about the eye is you can actually see what's going on with neurons by looking into the eye,
mm-hmm.
which you really can't do with these other conditions. So we like to say that the eye is really the window onto the brain, and in fact, you know, a great example of what we're talking about, I read about a couple of years ago where they're projecting now that in the future, you may be able to diagnose Alzheimer's early by looking into the retina.
No kidding.
Yes.
I'd never heard that. Is that
yes.
right? Wow. Because, you know, that's one area that is so much still a desert as far as being able to find at least a way to stop it, to slow it down. You know, there are drugs and everything else that are out there, but for a majority of the people that have the onset of Alzheimer's disease and that, a lot of that stuff doesn't work. So if we can start seeing things that can tie together the early onset of it, maybe we'll be able to do something. Maybe the researchers and the neurologists will be able to do something to help kind of slow it down, at least.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good example, the one I just cited of the fact that it's, you know, already happening.
Sure.
And then, of course, in our field of inherited retinal diseases, gene therapy is also showing tremendous promise. And in fact, probably within the next 18 to 24 months, we could very well have the first gene therapy for a vision disease approved in the United States. And in fact, it would be the first gene therapy approved ever in the United States. So that's another very, very promising area. Another promising area is stem cell therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So for people whose retinas have already been very damaged, stem cell holds out the hope of being able to replace a lot of those damaged cells in the back of the eye. And that research is coming along very, very nicely.
I'm just so impressed. You know, I often said, I talk to my engineer and I talk to the producer and my co-host on the program, and I often say, God, if I, all these people with all of these wonderful ability to be as smart as they are, to be able to look into these things and find cures and at least find methods of managing different eye diseases. It's just amazing what we can do if we work together.
Oh, no question about it. And we have a scientific advisory board that works very closely with us in helping us to decide, you know, where to make the investments in research. And they tend to be a pretty cautious lot, but I can tell you that they are now telling us that we're going to see more progress in the next 5 years than we've seen in the last 15, which is really pretty breathtaking when you think about it.
Well, I got to tell you, my vision was taken by glaucoma. And I know.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, you know what? If I would have just been able to survive another 5 years, I would have had some vision.
Yeah.
Because of the inroads being made in that, and they're doing some fabulous research up at Harvard and as well as at Northwestern in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they found the key.
Wow.
To what causes glaucoma, and now it's a matter of developing the eye drop or the solution to be able to help the people that have glaucoma. And the funny thing is, like I said about people working together, there is a researcher up at Harvard University who's developing contact lens that you would install the medication and it would time release it as the eye needs it. And
wow.
It would actually, you know, it actually could wipe out glaucoma somewhere down the line. So
that would really be tremendous. I mean, I think the other great example of partnership is, and this is really exciting, I would say just in the last 3 years we've seen, you know, almost an explosion of interest from commercial partners in the research that we're doing. And, you know, if we are ever going to be successful in accomplishing our mission, and I think we will be, we were going to have commercial partners in order to take a lot of this promising research and take it across the goal line, if you will, and,
sure.
and make the treatments available to patients. And 3 years ago, there were very, very few companies interested in our space. You know, the RP and some of these other diseases tend to be fairly rare. But now there's just been an explosion. And in fact, we just calculated recently there are now 34 companies actively involved and interested in our research space. And that is just tremendous news.
I talked to a company last year, and it was called Second Sense out in California.
Second Sight, right.
Second Sight out in California.
Yes.
And I was very impressed with the work they did. And the fact that the founder of the company had RP himself and wanted to figure out a way to combat the disease.
Yeah, and they've got a really interesting technology. You probably heard all about it, but it's the artificial retina, which is allowing people who are totally blind to actually be able to navigate their homes and to some extent neighborhoods and everything. And for people who are completely blind, that's just a huge improvement.
Oh, unbelievable. Well, do you have any idea how the mechanism of how it works and that sort of thing? Is it an implant type of thing or what?
It is. They implant a chip in the back of the eye, which communicates with a pair of glasses and a camera on the glasses.
Sure.
And allows people to see shadows and to some extent shapes and so forth.
Sure.
And the other exciting thing is that technology is just going to improve going into the future, because in addition to Second Sight, there are also a number of companies around the world actually working on similar kinds of technology, slightly different approaches,
right.
But lots and lots of interest in that area and a lot of investment.
Do you know Dr. Gerald Fishman?
Very well. Very well. He's a towering figure in our community.
I have so much admiration for him, because not only does he know his subject matter so well, but he's also got an extremely dry sense of humor, and I like people with dry senses of humor. But he is working with another professor or researcher from down in Florida, who I think is either at Florida State or at the University of Florida, and they're talking about the color recognition of the retina, you know, where a lot of times people don't have color recognition. They don't have color at all. It's a lot of black and white, or it could be, you know, confused with color blindness and that sort of thing. So there's so much of this work being done, and, you know, you only get snippets of it when you talk about it on the nightly news and that sort of thing. That's why I feel it's so important to be able to sit down and at least, you know, devote a whole section of a show just to the idea of this is what's out there and it's coming down the line. Don't get excited about it now, but it's coming, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on.
Absolutely, and just to further quantify the momentum, you know, when I started here at FFB, at the Foundation Fighting Blindness, 10 years ago, I don't believe there were really any clinical trials in our space. There are now 22 as we count them.
Wow.
And that's the best metric I can think of in terms of the research momentum. It's very, very exciting.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question, and as we get ready to wrap things up over here. You have got, like I said, I listened to a station out in Oregon, and you have got some of the best produced public service announcements that I've heard in a long, long time.
Wonderful. Great to hear.
And I don't know who your agency is or who you're using for that sort of thing, but I'd like to get a copy of all of those.
Okay, we can certainly get that for you.
Okay, I really would appreciate it. Bill, it was a pleasure talking to you today. I wish the organization much success coming up in 2016, and maybe we can circle the wagons here again later in the year and see how things are progressing on helping to cure some of the retinal diseases that are out there.
Sounds great, and it was a great opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
That's Bill Schmidt, transplanted Chicago into Baltimore now. And he and I have one thing in common. We hate the weather here in the wintertime. The show's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
1.4 million people in Illinois who really want to work can't. Financially, it doesn't make sense for them. You see, if they were employed, they'd lose Medicaid health coverage, and private insurance is almost impossible to get. This is the reality for people with disabilities. Meet Anna. She's single with severe diabetes. Anna couldn't work because no employer would provide health insurance, and she had to keep her income low enough for Medicaid. But now there is a solution for Anna, a state program called Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. Anna can enroll in HBWD and get full health care benefits, even working part-time. If this sounds like someone you know, call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com to learn more about health insurance for working individuals with disabilities. Move beyond your disability and take control. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com today.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. From its simple beginnings right here on Chicago's West Side, where it was founded in 1906, it has grown into one of America's most comprehensive social service agencies, serving people who are blind or visually impaired. Today, the Chicago Lighthouse offers world-class services in vision care, adaptive technology, job training and placement, rehabilitation, education, and many other areas. As more and more elderly Americans cope with vision loss, the Lighthouse will face greater challenges in expanding its critical programs. To see how you can help, please call 312-666-1331 or visit us at chicagolighthouse.org. The Chicago Lighthouse, seeing what's possible for more than 100 years.
So my apologies to Bill.
Bill Schmidt,
for taking so long to get the interview on the air. Yeah.
Well, it was worth the wait.
It certainly
Bill,
was.
Bill, you were worth the wait, my friend.
Absolutely.
There we go.
And you know what? If you miss this program, it's worth the waste.
The waste?
It's worth the wait to hear. It's worth the wait to hear us on Wednesday night again.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Or
just
we'll
have
Chris
a repeat
Radio.
Because our voices are so alluring and
listen,
soothing.
That's right.
And we'll lull you to sleep.
Well, let's hope not, but, you know, what the heck. And then, of course, it's always available on our website at thechicagolighthouse.org, and you go into Chris Radio and you look for our past shows.
You betcha.
So we'll be able to do that, too.
We're
that'll
there for
be good.
You.
So, yeah, you know, when I first got back into town, I was listening to the all-news station.
Okay.
And they were telling about a program that the Secretary of State has started that, what they're going to do is they're going to take your picture, you know, and do the whole business like they do. And I don't know if it's going to be every time or if it's going to be just the one time. But they are going to run a check. It must be every time because they're going to punch a hole in your license to show that you've been in. And then 2 weeks later, they'll mail you the new one.
So, like when you go in to renew your license, they're doing
this?
Yeah,
and what they're doing is for Homeland Security.
Right, sure.
It's a Homeland Security. And you know what? better safe than sorry.
I agree. I have no problem with the Homeland Security
issue and all of that
right,
stuff.
Everything that they're putting into place, the security they're putting into place, that's fine. Do what you
got
to do.
Right, because we've got families.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we want them all to survive. We want to survive.
Yep, we do.
When we get out there.
That is a goal of mine every day.
Every day, survive, yeah.
Every day.
And if you ride these expressways.
Oh, my gosh. I'm convinced I'm going to die in a car accident because I drive so much. I'm like 5 hours a day in
the car. Probably be better off, though. You know what? You're probably a better driver than a lot of
people. I'm a fantastic driver.
Yeah.
And I'm a comfortable driver.
Right.
Very comfortable.
These guys, you know what? I'll tell you one thing they did in Florida.
What?
They tailgate you.
Oh, man, I hate
And I mean,
people.
They're like, you know, like I used to have a friend who, he's still a friend. Hopefully he's still a friend. He used to say, why don't you hook up a chain? We'll pull you along with us, you know?
I think my biggest pet peeve, and this happened to me this morning, is I'm driving in the far right lane, which is a slow lane, and I'm still going over the speed limit, and I've got some tool who is riding my tail, and I'm like, fool, I am in the slow lane going over the speed limit. You do not need to be on my tail. So what do? I put my brakes on, and I start driving real slow. Drive to, and I am that person. If you are tailing me, I will put my brakes on, and I will slow to a crawl, and then you do what you got to do.
Did I ever tell you what I did one time when I was driving?
No.
I was driving along, and there was this guy who was behind me doing the same thing, you know, and flashing his lights on and off. It was night. So what I did was I was driving along, it must have been during the day or so. Yeah, it had to be during the day because I was driving along, and this guy was behind me, and you know, you had the switch years ago. The knob that you pulled out for the lights to come on and that. So I'm driving along and I'm going with, and he's right on my tail. And I pull out the light and I push it back in like I put on my brakes. And you never heard somebody screech so hard in your life because you didn't realize it, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
You know what? If you're going to be doing that, like, don't be surprised if my brakes come slamming on because maybe a dog ran out in front of me. Maybe a squirrel.
You don't know what's going on.
You have no idea.
And whatever happens, it's
your
fault.
You got it.
And it's my fault that I got it off subject here because Jesse White's waiting to talk with us here.
Making a U-turn back to the point.
Back to the point.
Yes.
God, it's hard to believe that it's been almost, it has been 6 months since we had Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White on the air with us. So we figured we better check into the office. And the reason I'm doing that is because of something I heard on the air on one of the other radio stations in town. Mr. Secretary, how are you?
Good. Glad to talk with you. Glad to be on board, sir. Doing fine.
Good. What I'm talking about has to do with the state IDs and the driver's licenses, where I think, if I heard it correctly, you are now issuing a temporary license for like 2 weeks or so. And then the permanent license comes later, or ID?
Well, as a result of 9/11, Homeland Security has asked all of the states to revamp their driver's license and state ID.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they require us to do, and is when you come into one of our facilities on your birthday, we will punch a hole in your license, and then we'll give you an additional paper license that you could use to get on an airplane. That's good for about 45 days, but within a 15-day period of time, we will have sent to you the regular driver's license with all of the bells and whistles devised by man or woman.
Right.
And then you can get on an airplane, go into some secure buildings. Bottom line is this particular document will prevent fraud and identity theft.
Right.
It's a security feature, and Homeland Security has asked all of the states to embark upon this kind of a program. And right now, there are 39 states who have already responded, and they're up and running. And we're a little late because we had to get some support from the General Assembly that was not forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of those resources are heading in our direction, and we're going to make sure that we're up to speed when it comes to responding to the letter of the law.
So you just...
The Secretary of State's office here in Illinois is the largest office of its kind in the nation, and other states rely on us for guidance. And
right.
Here we are a little late because of lack of support from
The state legislature, yeah. I told you about the lady I met down in Florida. She was on the west coast of Florida, and she headed up the, or was with an organization that was very much into organ donation, and she knew you very, very well. She spoke very highly of you in that, and she said that your office is one of the leaders as far as organ donation recruitment comes.
Yes, I think we're the second or third in the area, because other states signed up their constituents at an age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
We do it at 18 because we think that that's the right age to allow an individual to make a decision,
sure,
as to whether they want to participate in this program or not. At 18, we also require individuals to sign up for the draft, and then, of course, we encourage them to sign up to become voters. Because if you don't vote, you lose your grab rights, cannot complain about anything in society.
That's what I was going to ask you about. You have to, when you go in for the ID or the driver's license, you have to indicate that you want to be registered as a voter, right?
You don't have to, but it's a good thing to do. It's one-stop shopping, so to speak.
Well, let me tell you something. I agree totally with what you're saying. If you don't vote, then keep your mouth shut for the next 4 years, because you had your chance to voice your opinion.
Well, you know, here in Illinois, we talk about politics and we talk about sports. In Chicago especially,
right,
we talk about the Cubs and the White Sox, and we also talk about the political arena.
Right.
So if you want to talk about baseball, you buy a ticket and you go to Wrigley Field or Cellular Field. You want,
sure,
to participate in the voting process or the election process, you get registered and you come on and discharge your civic responsibilities. If you don't do that, then of course you lose your grab rights.
Then don't complain. Exactly. And speaking of that, are you have you received any calls from the Cubs, because they're doing so well this year? They may need you as a backup in a position.
Well, you know, I played 8 years and I had a wonderful experience, and now I'm in the twilight of my career. I'm spending my time working with the Jesse White tumbling team. I was a gymnast as a kid.
Sure.
I taught gymnastics in college and out of professional baseball with the Cubs during the off season. I taught school during the day, worked for the Park District at night, was asked to pull in the gym show, and from the one gym show in December 1959, came the Jesse White tumbling team. We have about 325 young people on the team, 51 are in college. We turned down about 300 requests, cannot put them into a schedule, we're that busy. And on the 4th of July, we'll do about 43 shows and parades with 7 units.
Wow. And
so,
that's,
you know,
and
when
that's
you look
little,
at
and
what's
that's
happening
little
on the west side and the south side of the city of Chicago, and you see these young men and young ladies doing something positive with their lives, it leads us to believe that our future is bright.
Sure. You have to believe in it, and you have to give them reason to believe, too.
Oh, sure. When you take them out of their immediate environment, like Zagreb, Croatia, Belize, Israel, China,
sure,
Tokyo, Japan, Hong Kong, Honolulu, Hawaii, Honokai, Hawaii, 17 times to Canada,
yep,
twice to meet the ones that came out, 4 movies, 4 plays, 25 commercials, NBA, NFL, just to mention a few. Bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. we're busy.
Sure.
And it goes to the old, speaks to the old adage, and I don't mind, is the devil's workshop.
That's, I agree with you there, too. You got your own yarmulke?
I'm Jesse White at times.
That's terrific. Hey, how'd you do this year on the organ donor?
Well, we're proud of the fact that we have passed the 6 million mark. We have a little bit less than 13 million people in the state,
mm-hmm,
and we have about 6 million people who sign up to part of the organ tissue donor program.
Sure.
And one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals. We ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, you have made a positive impact on society. Consider the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 minutes.
Now, April was a big month for organ donation. That was National Organ Donation Month. Do you have a, can you repeat the website and the phone number for folks to register in here in Illinois?
Sure. For the organ donor program is www.lifegoeson.com.
Okay.
www.lifegoeson.com. Or if they want to use the telephone bill, they could dial in 1-800-210-2106, 1-800-210-2106, or they can come into one of my 138 facilities and indicate that they're like part of the organ and tissue donor program.
How's the budget affecting your office?
Well, it's just hurting us tremendously. Matter of fact, because of budgetary concerns, we were unable notify our constituents about the renewal of their sticker for their license plates.
Right.
And so a lot of people got tickets, and in some cases they received, they had to pay a fine, meaning that they were penalized when they came to the DMV because they were late in applying for their sticker.
I got you.
And we just hope that some sanity will exist in Springfield where the members of the journalists, I mean, I served in that body for 16 years, will sit down and get involved with the art of compromise so that the people of this wonderful state can continue to enjoy the quality of life that they've enjoyed over the years.
Yeah,
I think it's a violation of all laws of human decency for Illinois to be the only state in the union without a budget. Come on.
I totally agree with you. You know, come on, you guys can find some kind of compromise somewhere to move things along and provide services. You know, in the social service agencies, not only people like the Chicago Lighthouse, but agencies that help those who have a learning disorder or homeless, they're the ones that suffer more than anyone, really.
You're absolutely correct. You know, you have to think in terms of, and then I'll tell you something else. I was looking at the news this morning, and the University of Eastern Illinois University is losing, lost about 300 staff members.
Right.
And other institutions of learning, which is really the heartbeat of this wonderful state of ours.
Sure.
When you don't have a good educational environment, it speaks negatively about your state.
Right.
We need to sit down and resolve this problem immediately. I mean, we can no longer wait. And the social services are the agencies that are suffering the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we have seen it here, and probably not as bad as a lot of other organizations. I mean, I was surprised because I was able to listen to one of the Chicago stations when I was down in Florida, and I really was surprised to hear about the agencies that were closing their doors because they didn't have the funding.
There are a lot of agencies that serve as a safety net, the light in the tunnel for a lot of individuals, and without those services, a lot of those people will not survive.
Yeah.
And will not enjoy their quality of life or the quality of life that they wish they need and deserve.
Yep, and you know what it is?
Something has to be done in Springfield.
Mr. Secretary, both parties have to get together.
No doubt about it.
It's not only one anymore, it's both parties that have to get together and do something. So
you can no longer take your ball and bat and go home.
That's right, exactly. But I'm going to let you go. I appreciate all the information you provided us today. And if folks have any more need to find out more about what we were talking about, the temporary driver's license and state ID and the organ donor program and that sort of thing, I know your office has a website as well. What is the secretary's?
www.sabbathdriveillinois.com.
Okay.
www.sabbathdriveillinois.com.
Listen, you have a wonderful summer, if I don't talk to you before the end. And good luck with... what's coming up on the 17th of...
I'm having a trunk party for about 550 young people where we're going to give out computers, backpacks, food, all the supplies they'll need for school so they can become better educated, better informed, and put them in a posture by which they can help run this great country of ours.
That's true.
That when you come through this world, Bill, and you get it, you give it back. That's how I run my life.
Hey, listen, that's the way to do it. Will there be locations that...
It'll be at my center. It's called Jesse White Community Center and Fieldhouse at 412 West Chicago Avenue.
Okay.
We have all our 550 young people. We have a waiting list of about another 100. So we're not accepting any more applicants.
Okay.
Until next year.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, listen, have a great, like I said, summer. Good luck with the trunk program, and keep those tumblers going.
Well, we plan to remain, show the people how high we can get without any root service spices. And only the best to you and Lincoln.
Thank you so much. Lincoln's retiring as of today.
Oh, my God. Happy retirement for him.
Yep. He's going to retire, and he'll probably go down to the library and spend some time down in Springfield.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, tell Dave Drucker I said hi too, will you?
I will. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. That's Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White with a lot of good information for us this morning. And see, he even let my secret out of the bag that Lincoln's retiring. We'll be back with more.
I didn't know that.
We'll be back with more right after this.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect to Compete and the Ad Council.
I really like Secretary of State Jesse White.
He's a very kind person.
Very kind person and a very genuine human person.
Absolutely. So. And I think in this, and not to get off track again, but in this day and age of political
idiots.
Idiocy, yes, absolutely. He is just this beacon of light, this beacon of hope, who just kind of stands strong in the midst of it. So, bless Jesse White.
And I love him because he never had the ambition to become governor or anything like that. He was happy with the position he held. They didn't use it as a stepping stone.
And he's done so much.
Still doing so much, as we heard in that piece there. But now we're going to hear about what is good to eat in our lettuce. Turn up the beat segment.
Thank you. We're going to be doing the summer treat version of Lettuce Turn Up the Beat for the next couple of months, I suppose, because we're kind of in the thick of summer now.
Yep.
We're just about to be.
Yep.
So we're going to talk today about vegan, I think vegan ice creams. We're going to stay along the theme of vegan ice creams today. And so this first one that we're going to talk about is watermelon coconut ice cream.
That sounds good.
Honey. And you know what? I was reading through these. You don't need an ice cream maker for these recipes. I don't have an ice cream maker, but I think I might get one. I think it's just going to make it that much more delicious to like infuse the air, like whip the air into the ice cream, make it really light and airy.
And airy,
yes. But this one, you don't need a coconut maker. You don't need an ice cream maker.
Okay.
The recipes for the ingredients you do need, however, are 2 cups of chopped watermelon, 3/4 cup of raspberries or another fruit of your choice.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
See, we're already going there.
My mouth is watering.
Six medjool dates.
Excuse me?
Medjool. M-E-J-D-O-O-L. Now, probably any date will work, but these are actually common dates that you can find in the produce, and they're a natural sweetener.
And they're cheap because you don't have to take them to a movie or anything.
Exactly. Look at you. But they will add a sweetener to your ice cream.
Okay.
That's all natural. 3 sprigs of mint, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 teaspoon of maple syrup, and 1 can of coconut milk. Now, with coconut milk, you want to make sure that you get, like Thai Kitchen, I know, makes it, but make sure you get a full-fat coconut milk, not a coconut cream, not a coconut milk that you find in the dairy section. This is actually going to be in your grocery store in the Asian food section.
Okay.
So it's Thai Kitchen coconut milk. You can do the light version, but it's not going to be as creamy of a texture or consistency. So I just recommend the full fat version. If you're going to do ice cream, go big or go home.
You know, that's it. You know, you go for broke.
Exactly.
That's right.
You got it. So what we're going to do here is blend together the watermelon, raspberry, dates, mint leaves, vanilla, maple, and the coconut milk. Blend it until smooth. And then you can pour the mixture into a shallow dish and freeze it for at least 5 hours or overnight. Once it's frozen, you're going to blend it, and probably the best way to do that is to cut it into batches and throw the chunks into a blender, so you can just blend them in batches until it's smooth and creamy. Spoon it back into the dish and then freeze again for another 30 minutes to really firm it up.
Sure.
And then it's ready for you. Spoon it into dishes. You can top with berries, coconut flakes, chocolate sauce, whatever you want.
Oh.
And you've got your watermelon coconut ice cream.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Goodness.
I haven't made it yet. I saved it in my recipe file.
Right.
But it's definitely on my to-do list. Maybe this weekend.
That sounds better than life itself.
Maybe I'll do that this afternoon with the kids.
That's right. Give them something to do.
Absolutely. That's a good idea. So there you go.
That's it.
That's our Lettuce Turn Up the Beat summer treat version.
And it sounds delightful.
Thank you, darling.
By the way, we featured this on on the program pretty much every week.
Every week,
and
yeah.
And we're going to have the recipe available at what's our...
Facebook is Lighthouse Beacon, and yep. Our Twitter handle is Lighthouse Beacon as well.
Okay, and then they'll be able to get the recipe.
It will be there.
On the
Facebook or Twitter.
Facebook or Twitter account.
On the Facebook or the Twitter.
Well, we'll wait till next week to hear more of summer treats.
Next week is banana ice cream.
Oh, my goodness. And let us turn up the beat. Okay, good. Now we'll do the intro to Tomas's Corner.
Okay.
Coming in 3, 2, 1. You know, that recipe sounded, because I love watermelon.
Oh, I know.
I love watermelon. I love raspberries.
Yeah, it's all good.
Oh,
all of it. And the mint, like the mint thrown in there. I mean, watermelon and mint. And I'm a big mojito person. So, the mojito, it's a summer drink.
Oh, okay.
Watermelon's not in it, though. I don't know where I was getting that. Mint is in it.
Right.
But it's just like very crisp and very, I don't know. It's all good. It's all the good stuff.
Yeah, she sits on the couch and goes,
pretty much. Yeah, I do. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yeah,
that's my life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's for sure. Talk about having a life. Tom Persky is going to be joining us along with the handsome Brian Hawkins. And, you know, they always have this segment.
We do.
Where they have to tell us about everything new that's going on. And the part I like is when they tell us about the road shows.
The road shows, yeah. It's summertime.
Out. Yeah, and so they're going to be out doing a lot of that. And I don't know what the guys have got planned for this week.
It'll be a surprise.
It's going to be definitely a surprise. So we're going to head up that street there. And we're going to stop at the house with the swing. They replaced the swing, by the way.
Well, thank goodness it got broken in the storm.
Not only that, and then they used it as a bonfire on the front of Toast Marshmallow, if you remember.
Exactly.
So we are going to visit with Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins in our Tom's Corner segment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in to Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins with Tom. He is here. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brian Hawkins. How are you?
I'm doing fine, as always. And, you know, a lot of times with all the products you talk about, sometimes you wonder if folks really are interested in them. But
right.
You've got lots of evidence to the fact that they are. People are talking about various products we've talked about.
Exactly. And, like last week's show, we talked about sunwear and the different kinds and whatever.
And you got an immediate response.
We did, and we had a show last Tuesday at the Schaumburg Township offices, and it was a great turnout. The township actually put our Low Vision product show right on the front page of their flyer, which I think went to everyone in the township. So we had 80 or 90 people, and you pointed that out to us. We didn't even know that was some way to let people know.
Right.
And, of course, the radio show, we don't really know what people are interested, but two people turned up and wanted to buy the exact pair of sunglasses that I was talking about with the U533 that wrap around. They have the side shields. The amber color really heightens the contrast of everything. So there was lots of excitement about that. So that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool.
Well, you do a good job of explaining exactly what they do.
Yeah, and... you know, then we had another unusual thing happen. This was not a radio thing. This was our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And if those of you who can go to YouTube.com and type in CHI Lighthouse as your search, you'll see lots of new videos. And if you subscribe to that channel, every time we add a new video, it'll send you an email. So there was a couple new ones added recently, but remember last summer I was talking about this electric bicycle called the ELF, E-L-F.
Right.
Electric, light, and fun.
You're all together.
And we have had over 5,000 views on that particular video because it's so unusual looking. It looks like a little smart car.
Mm-hmm.
It has a roof over the top with solar panels, and it has a little trunk in the back and headlights and taillights. And we had tested it here with many of our legally blind staff who were able to ride a bicycle, had good enough vision. And the president of the company called me just recently and said that they had sold four of the ELF electric bicycles to legally blind customers within the last few months.
Wow. That's great.
And he was just amazed. He wanted to talk to me about it. And I... you know, I don't think it's for everybody, but I think in some situations, depending on where you live, if it's safe to ride a bike along the side of the street, you want a little device like an Elf bicycle. So you must go and listen to that, that video, and see what people's reaction would be. Because it might turn somebody's life around. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, it's a neat little bike there. Unique looking.
It is. It is. Speaking of turning people's lives around, we had our OrCam demonstration, which was on the Channel 7, ABC Channel 7 news a couple weeks ago. And OrCam is the device that hooks onto your glasses, a tiny little camera that takes a picture of the page and reads out loud. And Luke is great in demonstrating that on the show. Jose Sanders from ABC 7 thought it was pretty cool. And we've had quite a few, about maybe over 12 people that have come who we normally probably wouldn't have served. We even had people calling from other states saying this must have got syndicated and went to other places. So we've actually sold about 6 of the OrCam units within the last month.
Wow.
And people really like it. It's, of course, $2,500 for the text version. But it allows people who are blind or low vision to read again and to read in a way that's never been discussed before. So so the power of radio and television and YouTube,
right.
which is cool.
All of those things.
We had a YouTube video recently also about the eSight eyewear. We've talked about on this show from Canada. eSightEyewear.com is their website. There's lots and lots of videos about that. And people's lives have been turned around with the eSight eyewear. And Luke did a really nice short video. So what we found is people lose interest after about 3 minutes. So we're making our videos
shorter,
3 minutes instead of 4 or 5. But that has really increased the number of people who are driving here from 4, 5, 6 hours away to come and see the eSight unit. And it's been interesting because that unit is $15,000. So it's not for everybody, not only visually, but financially.
Right.
But many of the people who come do not know about some of the new technology for CCTV reading machine, software for their computer. It's kind of amazing to us. I don't know if it's that many people live in a rural area and don't have access to all these new things. And when they come here, they want to see everything. And we've found that we've been able to help turn lots of people's lives around who maybe couldn't afford the eSight but could afford some other types of devices. So that's been very successful. So we're pretty thrilled about it, and the power of all this, I guess, media has been really impressed on my mind recently of things that have happened, and you see people thanking us and being very grateful that there's a place to go
right
to get the help they need.
Yeah, it's all about helping folks and helping them solve any problems that they might have.
Exactly.
So
right.
All of those things, the YouTube channel, of course, the radio broadcast, and then when we have videos by local television stations, it all helps to get the word out. And then, of course, when you come to the road shows.
Yes. And, you know, we've got our next official road show, July 12th, is going to be at our Glenview location. And people say, what about June? Well, we're busy doing inventory and getting ready for the end of the year.
Right.
But it was interesting that we had been recently in Romeoville at a show. And there's a senior community called Carillon right on the border of Romeoville and Plainfield. And a lot of the people from the low vision support group in Carillon came to our show, and they said, we'd really love you to come to our big health fair. So they called us and invited us to come, and that's going to be June 22nd. So it's not going to be a huge road show like we normally have, but we're going to have at least 3 or 4 tables of lots of our products. Myself and Eric and Luke will be there. So if you live out in that area and you know about Carillon Retirement Center, please come out on June 22nd, and we will be there with lots of lots of devices, and we can sit and talk with you and let you know we're out there. So that's not an official roadshow, but it's a neat health fair, and we look forward and we're thankful that they invited us.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
All right.
And then in August, we have August 17th, we're going to be at Maryville, Indiana, for our second show in Maryville, Indiana. Last time we had over 100 people there, so that was kind of wild. And then later in August, the very last day of August, we've got a show in Frankfort Township again.
Okay.
So we'll be on the road this summer and look forward to seeing you. They're open to the public. They're free. We call them low-vision product shows. And we bring many, many, many devices and catalogs and things for you to search and know about. If you know someone who's visually impaired and needs help, please also call us at 1-800-919-3375. 1-800-919-3375. And if you don't know if there's a product that might help you, you could ask our staff at the Tools for Living store, and they can research things for you and let you know.
Okay. And speaking of the store, are the specials still on for the CCTVs?
There are. That's a really good thing, because yesterday we had a special for all of our employees in-house.
That's right.
And we sold like 6 portable video magnifiers, because it's pretty much half price on some of these devices. And so we have some limited time here, and we have a limited supply of things. But if you're in need of a video magnifier, now would be a great time to call the store, and they can tell you what's still available and what the prices are.
All right.
All right.
He's Tom Fersky. I'm Brian Hawkins, and this is The Beacon.
So let's see. Tom had some great ideas there. Then we had some great recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there one great recipe, rather, for the summertime treat.
Yep.
Mr. White, Secretary White, provided us with great information. And Bill Schmidt was here from the foundation. We covered a lot of stuff on this show.
We did.
But we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We can handle it that way, too.
I think so.
I'm looking forward to your recipe for next week.
Banana ice cream.
Whoa, does that sound good. That sounds absolutely terrific.
It's fabulous.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, our Chief Executive Officer and President of the Chicago Lighthouse, for believing us and the Board of Directors as well. And who's that guy over there? The guy, you know,
Brian Hawkins.
I think so.
That guy.
That man who's got the most even temper that I have ever seen in my life.
He's crazy.
He is just fantastic. Yeah. I'm very proud to have him as a friend.
He's a good person.
And besides that, he's a terrific engineer. He does a great job with Tom.
He's all the good things.
All around good guy.
Rolled,
you know,
into one.
He does that voodoo that he does,
yeah,
so
he
well.
Does.
See, I haven't said that in a long time.
No,
before, so.
It's true.
So get ready. Next week we'll be back. The boys and girls are up next from our
Mighty House.
Getting things done on the house, yeah. I wonder if they know anybody who can rot out a basement drain.
I'm sure they do.
We'll have to find out.
They're the Mighty House guys.
That's it.
Mighty House.
That's it. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Leanie Kleeman.
We'll see you next week right here on The Beacon. And you guys have yourself a great week.